I want to right now take a look at, and you'd already brought this up, Masaki, I want to look at this, what I'm calling an invasion. So actually, we're all Americans here. The four of us are. I wanted to establish like that we understand what that means in different ways from our different perspectives and our different experiences. But at the same time, we all call this home. I mean, this is our home. And I don't care if you're first generation or if you are, have been here a very long time and have, say, First Nations and Indigenous folk here. This is our home. And I know that all of us have a sense of pride in that. And so where I want to put us now and I want to get our eyes on is I was looking at these maps of everyone coming out of Africa and a lot of the Haitian stuff that's going on. Now, I don't want to get bogged down in some of those politics, especially with Haiti, because we see how terrible. And I'm just going to say it now, the Clinton Foundation and all that and the trafficking and all the terrible stuff going on with Haiti. I just want to talk about when we're looking at, and we're going to start here, but I want to make sure we're mirroring it over to Europe because we're seeing the invasion move into Western and Northern Europe as well. But also through our southern border here, what I'm seeing is not really a huge amount of South Americans and Mexicans. I'm seeing a lot of Middle Eastern people. I'm seeing a lot of Haitian people come through, along with the people that are actually legit refugees, along with them. But they're getting piggybacked in, and a lot of them seem to be, and all I can go on are the optics, but a lot of, and then, you know, I do that boots on the ground thing. I talk to people all over. I lived in New Mexico. I love it. And I just have what I have personally seen. The legit refugees are being used as a form of Trojan horse for these other people that are coming in. They're being funded and pushed through our border. And now this is changing the face of what we call home. And right here in this audience, we're a diverse group right here. And so when we look at parts of Europe, and Europe is very diverse too, we might want to think of Europe as basically white, but when you start parsing out what is Portuguese, what, you know, Sicilian, Sardinians, what are Italians, what are the French, what are, you know, we've got a whole melting pot there, but we have a melting pot in Europe that was working, and it was working in a similar way that America was working, where we could have our cultural identities and we could have our communities and we were able to get along and move along and all this. What's gone on now here in the modern times is some sort of weird invasion that looks very obvious to me. Now, I know people looking at this without the woo goggles, which is where I come from, are looking at it strictly and they're buying the narrative that these people are not Somalian pirates, that these people are not, you know, some of these people that are just out to do no good. And I'm not throwing every Somalian into that pocket. Of course not. I'm just using Somalian pirates in modern day are the baddest bitches on the seas. They ain't no joke. And I mean, they are fierce. They're fierce people. And they are very religiously inspired. Same with what's coming in our southern border. It's changing our world. And I want to get your opinions on how you feel about this. So I'm going to move over here and I'm going to start with Justin on this one.
Kind of went out. What was that last part you said, Niche?
So African and Middle Eastern people, but that are coming in not wanting to be part of our community, say the American community, the European community. They are setting up different camps and different, you know, we've got whole right. Sharia law zones and all this. That is a different kind of person than the American people here and the people that have gone through the hoops that really want to be here and part of this that is America or is Europe.
Right, right. That's an excellent question. So with that said, the first thing that comes to my mind is well, why are these people being let in and what are the background of these people, right? And if you think about, you said the Somalian pirates, you said the Haitians, as well as the Middle Easterners. Now, I can't imagine that these people are going to be good law-abiding citizens, right? I can, first thing that comes to mind, that they are being let into our country to cause chaos and confusion. So, you know, and I'm not going to say every single one, but you may have some that are of solid mind and heart that want to come over here to, you know, chase the quote unquote so-called American dream. Now, as our economy continues to crumble and inflation goes up and the grocery store shelves get scarce and gas hits $6, $7, $8, $9, $10 a gallon, what are these individuals going to do to survive? More than likely, in my opinion, they're going to turn to crime, right? And then you're going to see this influx of crime, maybe from these Somalian pirates, as well as these Haitians, as well as these Middle Easterns. And then here we go. That takes us right back into the propaganda of racism that is being pushed in this country, right? It's kind of along the lines of what we saw during the 9/11 attacks, when the Middle Eastern people were labeled as these horrible, evil people. It may be something along those lines that may be going on again in the near future once all hell and chaos and confusion breaks out. And they're showing this on TV, they're showing this on the internet of people going in, and you have the current administration that's in place that I don't know what the hell they're doing, but they're obviously allowing it. But, you know, again, all puppet play, you know, at work here. I think a lot of these people are being implanted into this country, maybe even being funded to come here and to start a lot of chaos and confusion. Yes. So it, unfortunately, or maybe it is fortunate, you know, depending on how you look at it, but we are headed somewhere that is going to be very unprecedented to what this country has never experienced before. It's going to be this whole new reign of evil going here. I tell you what, people better get ready. That's what I say. You're going to have to get ready, because as this crime goes up and prices go up and inflation and everything, people are, and then you got people that took the jab and they're already acting crazy as hell. I mean, it's just the quote unquote perfect storm for freaking Armageddon, if you will. Yes. And I really believe that's where we're headed.
Yes, thank you, Justin. I do too. It seems really obvious, but you have to get to a certain vantage point to have these eyes that see. Otherwise, you are actually being down in, you're in the mire of all the propaganda, of all the mind control, of all the conditioning. And right, that's a hard place to be. I mean, that looks a bit like hell on earth to me. And so that's what's going on. While I have you here on this particular subject, how do we find a solution? And I, you know, this is, of course, we're all just talking here, but this seems to be an issue with the administration sending out $54 billion to Ukraine, taking care of all these incomers that are not actually our people, while our people are falling deeper out of range. We've got more homelessness, we've got more drug use, we've got crime is just crazy. And this is, I mean, these numbers, if you just look at them in the last 2 years, they're off the charts. And it's easy to see, if you're looking and critically thinking, that there may be something connected here. But how is it we can send so much money into Israel? We send so much money to Israel, and we could leave all that money and those weapons in the Middle East. America's got all this money everywhere, honey, and now we can't take care of our own? What is going on, Justin?
Yeah, it's damn crazy, that's for sure. Well, I tell you what, Gotham needs a hero. I think that it has to be someone or a group of people that has the ability to be extremely, extremely influential upon the American people. you know, someone that this country has never seen before, kind of like what maybe Dr. King was, right, back in the 60s. But I don't want to go that far because I have my own thoughts on that. Even with Dr. King, you know, everything was not as it seemed, right? But definitely someone that or some organization that is going to have to really step into their purpose and stand in truth and have a huge influence upon the American people. And you know, that may all sound crazy, but I don't think it's impossible. That's for sure. You're going to have someone that's going to take the lead, that's going to have a hell of a strong team behind them. What is that they say? I don't know if it's true or not, but allegedly there's these group of people within government, right? And in big business, what do they call it? The white hats.
You've heard of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's something. If there is such a group of an organization of people called the White Hats, maybe the White Hats are who assists this person or these individuals to come together and do something to put a halt to all this madness. And I don't know. Again, maybe that sounds a little fairy tale-ish to a lot of people. But then again, the things I've seen and experienced over the last 2 years. Maybe I would have said 2 years ago, hell no, none of that stuff is going to happen. I don't know. But, you know, at this point, I honestly believe that anything is possible. And people are just going to, again, come together, going to have to come together and unite to fight this stuff. And it's going to have to continue to be an unveiling, right? Pulling that veil back, bringing more and more awareness, not only to the people of our country, but worldwide. You know, because, you know, this thing goes deep, you know, it's just not the United States, you know, they're all in bed together, you know, a lot of these governments and a lot of these, you know, top officials, etc. It's like we're heading to a do or die situation. You know, that's the way I see it. That's the way I see it. And, you know, we're going to have to be influential. We're going to have courage and we're going to have to fight this thing. And we're going to have people, powerful people that are going to be willing to stand up. Some people that may know the ins and outs of government and policy, et cetera, and come together and say enough of the BS and let's make change for humanity. And that's what I would love to see. And I do not think it's impossible. I think it's possible because when you get people on the same accord, right, spiritually vibrating high and people fighting for what's good, change will happen.
Yes.
Right. There's a lot of doom and gloom talk that people talk about all the time. And I tell people all the time, well, hey, don't forget about the light. I really believe over these next several years, we will see, even though things will go sideways further. But I believe there will be some amazing things happening for people of the light and people that fight these dark energies and entities. Because Nisha, in my opinion, that's all it really comes down to. Right. It's a spiritual warfare out here, you know, and I don't want to go too off topic with that. But that is what it comes down to. And people of the light workers who are fighting this, we have this something inside of us that we know, regardless of what we go through, what we experience, that at some point we will rise and we will win eventually. And I think it's been this steady migration towards that, right, over the last couple of years, with a lot of people waking up. And as you talked about, a lot of people becoming more aware. You know, so we got to just keep this thing going. And there's going to be some unseen powers working on our behalf that is going to move things in the direction that they need to go to fight this darkness that is being just poured over the world in this moment.
Excellent points there. And after this round, when I get Dave and Masaki on this subject, I will be rounding out our last little point I had here, which is definitely going to be raising this conversation to the soul genetics. And Masaki already introduced this idea, but we'll get there. So right now, Dave Cruz, you have a little bit different perspective on this particular question because you're first generation. And also, it's interesting because we are so interconnected with Mexico, America is, and of course, Texas was Mexican, and then it wasn't. And, you know, the Mexican people are just as what I consider a lot of Mexicana Americana is just as apple pie as our black Americans that have generational roots back here as far as the white people. And so you're first generation, so you get to see some of the current sorrows probably. You, at least you're familiar with them, that say legit people coming here for these right reasons, wanting to raise their station, wanting more opportunity, wanting to be part of what this is, and how this is actually, they're being used and their plight is being used against them, and it's weaponizing everyone against a lot of Mexicans. Now, don't get me wrong, who likes the coyotes? Who likes these really crazy gangs that are coming through? And we've all lived in areas where we've seen, look at LA and the D and all this. Mm-hmm. Gangs are no joke. A thug is a thug is a thug. I don't care what color you are. A thug is a thug. And I don't care what station you are. Our government is a thug. And so I am interested in your perspective on this invasion aspect, Dave.
Right. So I feel that what I saw growing up is definitely legit people trying to make a living for themselves and be part of what was the American dream back in the day. Who wouldn't want to be able to come here, maybe even open up their own business, start a family, move into a home with the white picket fence, everything that was promised and dreams. And, now it's like, that's nothing could be further from that nowadays. I mean, it's just a matter of survival because of what is going on in Mexico today, the corruption that's happening, the lawlessness, the cartels, all of that stuff, and again, you do have good people coming in, but you also have mixed people come in, like what we're talking about earlier, that are not from Mexico, that are from different countries, even China and Syria and different parts of the world, because these borders are not being monitored. They're just not being monitored correctly. Look, we could talk about the Mexican border all night, but what else is happening in Canada? I mean, look at the Canadian border.
Yes, yes.
I was reading an article about how ISIS is possible that there's a resurgence in ISIS. We'll be seeing that, and very soon. And that's because, again, a lot of our borders were opened. They weren't monitored. I remember hearing a story about how a person was watching a person of whatever Middle Eastern descent in a boat, just coming right up to the shores in Canada, and cross right over and over the border and into the United States. I mean, without being questioned. And you have, you have good people coming in from the south border, and they're being detained, they're being mistreated. So, it's really a perspective, it's a really, different perspective of where a lot of this stuff is happening and where it's coming from and coming through. But what I feel is, the result is what we really need to watch here, is because all of this stuff that's happening, like you said, the ink is what's driving all of this stuff right now. Justin said it earlier about, the current administration is a joke. I'm not saying that the Trump era was any better. I'm not saying, any era, any, because, look, I've again, being in these circles, listening to these programs, running my own program, talking to other guests, there's been talk about how a lot of these politicians have a bloodline. And yes. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, Hispanic, Asian. It's the same bloodline.
Obama's tied right up into it.
There you go. And so, you know, there is definitely an agenda and something is going on and it's being deliberate. My opinion is that until something can be done about these border situations, it's just going to get worse. I had a friend of mine who works in a cellular store, and he was just, you know, just texting me and showing me pictures. He's saying, he's like, dude, there's just so many Russians coming in and asking for phones, like burner phones. Mm. And which is, you know, kind of sketchy. And he, you know, he's white and he's looking at other white people, but they're Russian. You know, so that tells me that, you know, this isn't just, it's not really a color problem or a religion problem. It is a people problem that's happening right now. I mean, mm-hmm. Everyone's being used as a pawn. How about that? Let's just say that. This is definitely an invasion. But I like to throw something that I like in the mix a little bit, because I talk about this on my show quite a bit. I'm a real big believer in predictive programming. And when I say predictive programming, I do watch what's happening in Hollywood and how it relates to real life. And some people just say, oh, well, that's just, you know, art imitating life or whatever, or, you know, they're just going with the current fashion. But if you really pay attention, some of the stuff that comes out, whether it's film or TV, some of the stuff we see in those shows and the movies, you'll start seeing later on happen in real time in our life after it's been brought to us through the media.
Yes.
Not the other way around. Now, I can understand if it's the other way around, but when you have, like you're talking about an invasion, well, Marvel's coming out with a whole different saga called Invasion.
Of course.
You know, what did we have a couple of years ago? Before that, we had Endgame.
Endgame, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was basically, you know, half of everyone, everything in the universe just poof, gone. Genocide. And then COVID comes out. And a lot of the predictions of COVID was, you know, they were going to level the whole, you know, basically Georgia Guidestones thing down to 500 million. But of course, that didn't happen. You know, and that's for another show too. You know, look what's happening in with the Georgia Guidestones. What's happening in the Vatican?
Yes,
there was a huge ordeal in the Vatican where I believe an obelisk was struck by lightning. I don't know if that's correct.
We don't know, but if it's confirmed, but it's definitely out there in the zeitgeist as an image and a story.
Right. But if you look at some of the footage, you'll actually hear more explosions in the background. So what's really going on? Then you have, the Italian prime minister resign. And then before that, you had another, I can't remember, I think it was Sri Lanka, that had a prime minister resign, and you had a former Japanese prime minister assassinated who still had influence.
Yes.
So just look at those things I just said. When was the last time you saw this in your life happen so fast and so close together? It's definitely, things are definitely being speeded up. Because, again, you know, if we're observing this and reporting, they know that we are, and we are working to fight this, you know, the light against the dark, you know, whatever you want to call it. They know that, you know, we're on it, so they gotta speed up their game.
Yeah, there's a definite feeling of a quickening happening. And that is one of the things that makes all this look so hyperbolic with the flash rate and how intense everything's becoming more cartoonish, one thing after another. I mean, events that we would see that would people would be talking about for a year or more are happening almost daily now.
Right. Yes, true.
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you for that, Dave. And we'll move this particular bit as we wrap into what's going to be soul genetics over to you, Misaki, this invasion. And I like that Dave brought up the northern border. Now, it's a whole different dynamic because there aren't caravans coming and all that. And I've lived up there on that border. I've lived in the San Juan Islands. Certainly, there have been lots of places I've known you could cross, and there was no one there. However, when I lived here in Washington, closer to the border, I always heard this kind of underlying scuttle that they'll shoot you if you're trying to cross. And so I was like, oh, okay. Well, nice. You know, all right. But who knows if that's the truth? And this was before this time period we're in. And that's, of course, going into Vancouver up there. But it was a good point, and it's a prescient point, Dave, that we needed, because that border is also at play here. And there's a lot to be said. And, of course, Canada's getting crazy, absolutely crazy up there in Canada. I feel so sorry for people that are dealing with that kind of what I'm calling a straight-up dictatorship. So
absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it really is nasty. So Misaki, what do you have on this invasion aspect?
Well, I think a lot of us, we know, because this has been going on for a while now, this new wave, right? Because again, it's context. What time period are you talking about? And I even mentioned, you know, people that have, say, come from the Middle East, gone to Germany, you know, in the 70s or something like that, maybe the 80s. They're saying, what the hell is this? Because they were there far back enough to say, this is not the Germany we came to, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's basically just chaos and destruction. You could say damn devils are in charge of this, right? And I have to think, although they probably had this plan from like 100 years ago, the technocrats and the people calling the shots these days, they're really not that smart. So I would have to think there's some level of AI or algorithms that are, you know, input output, like what do they call it? Silent weapons for quiet wars, right? You
have this sort of like NASA war document. Yeah. Yes.
Because I really think that even if you look at these Klaus Schwabs and who's that guy? Yuval Harari?
Ooh, yes.
You know, they're totally in their head. Like, I think they're insane, but they're no, like, Brzezinski's or Kissinger's, you know? That generation is kind of out the door. So I really do believe that what we're dealing with is basically we're getting into, like, eschatology and biblical-type themes. Mm-hmm. It's like forces of good and evil, basically, you know? Mm-hmm. So, because they're probably tapping into not only AI, but, you know, other dimensions or something like that. But, you know, I talking about Canada, if you're talking about the waves of mass migration, you know, I knew an Arab guy in Canada, and, you know, he had grown up in Canada, but he said, man, this is probably like 5+ years ago. He goes, and he's Arab, right? He goes, I cannot believe how many Arabs and Somalis, and, you know, it was visible, mm-hmm. right? And the thing, Nish, is before there was this expectation of people are going to assimilate into the country they're moving to, right? That's not the case now. And that can create major problems, right? I mean, in France, some of these other countries in Europe, you're dealing with second, third generation, you know, ethnic people that their parents came from, the grandparents came from Middle East or something like that. But they've been put on welfare, and the mosques are being controlled by intel agencies to radicalize them.
Yes.
And a lot of the hardcore ISIS, they didn't come from the Middle East. They came from Europe. these are like second and third generation people that they just don't fit into the society, right? Which is not the case before, but it's been made to be that way. I also think that, you know, because I've talked to some therapists and doctors that are Muslim in UK, and they say that a lot of these young guys, you know, they have like PTSD. If they've just come straight over, they're coming from bombed out countries, right? And it's set up in a way that they're being given free license by the system to do whatever the hell they want. So most people are good people, you know, they just want to work and that kind of thing. But if it's set up for you to not integrate, and you know the laws are, it's like a hands-off policy, which is actually happening out here in the streets in Southern California.
Yeah.
In California in general, Bay Area.
Washington, it's just like
catch and release, if they even catch you. Because what's the use of even catching somebody if
they ain't even trying, Misaki? Look at all the videos of people going in and taking what they want out of any store, and they're just in and out, you know.
This is like, because I lived in, I went to Brazil like over 20 times, right? This is Brazil stuff. They're knocking people on the head, taking their stuff in broad daylight. Is that bold now, right? So it's kind of like take that, but then apply it to what's been, because actually, if you look at the, say, the feng shui cycles, Europe is actually a cycle ahead of us. So if you want to get an idea, we're like catching up, right? Because the switch is 2024. So we're very close to entering the 20-year cycle that they've already been in. Okay. So you got to look at I did a talk with Robert Phoenix about China, right? And I think for Asians in America, it's going to get very dicey as far as like racial, you know, friction, because I think we're going to go to war with China by summer of next year. It's not only the general transits, but then in China's chart, it's showing, you know, we're probably going to be at war with China. And most people, they can't differentiate, you know, just like for like Latinos, right? Can most people tell like people from like Guatemala, Nicaragua, from Mexico or El Salvador? Can't really tell the difference, the average person, right? They can't tell the difference between Japanese, Chinese, or whatever. So
I can tell the difference on all of them.
You can tell, yeah. Right? But
I know what you're saying, and that's a sad mentality out there in the field.
Oh, yeah. So I was talking with Robert, you know, with the China thing, that, yeah, we've been totally infiltrated. But, you know, it's also on, say, the U.S. side to stay on top of that. Because if China wasn't trying to infiltrate, they wouldn't be doing their job, right? So it's been made to be this chaotic. It's been made to throw us into a chaos. And also, I think, you know, I don't know what it is, Nish, but these, like, very well-to-do states in nations in Europe, like Sweden, so forth, Germany, I think they got so soft.
Yes.
They don't know what the hell. They're so liberal, they didn't know what the hell they're doing. Because, like, yeah, you know, we hear about rapes and different kind of crimes going on, but there are people in Sweden that are letting grown men, you know, 20, 30 years old, sleep in the bedroom with their young daughters. Like, what the hell is that, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, so naive.
Well, that's one of the things that
I don't know what you think, but do you understand what I'm saying? Like, the mentality is like, you guys have no idea about the larger world and right. What's been going on.
Yeah.
You know? So everything's been set up to cause chaos. And then I'll throw this in again, because I don't know if I mentioned this before, but besides just the fact of, like, you know, you have people coming over that they've been bombed out. They might even have some revenge factor in their mind, although a lot of them, they probably just want to start a new life, right? But that does exist. But there's an MK Ultra factor also, and I would say at the higher level, you know, at the higher level, because I knew this Somali chick. I had talked to you about this before, like offline, right? Very beautiful looking. She was from Iman's tribe.
Yeah. Oh, Somalians are beautiful people. It's
right? So just imagine like an Iman type looking woman, right?
Yeah.
She was like the alt-right Trumper. In the run-up when Trump was going to get elected, she was an alt-right Trumper, but she was MK Ultra. And her family, you know, was basically MKUltra family, you know. This girl was educated, Ivy League, this kind of thing.
Said she was MKUltra, you know, right job
by Clinton people. And so you got to throw that in. And it's even that that's like a real zinger, right? Not only was she MK, but she was a right-wing MK. Is Somali right-wing? Like, when did you ever? So they got all their bases covered, you know, like the policies just mashing, you know, communities that are, you know, these people are basically fresh off the boat, right? Fresh off the plane. And then you're going to set it up specifically for them not to integrate, right? And your and the intel agencies have their hands in to radicalize, to just make sure and stir trouble. So it's basically, I think, to, if you want to look at it in the astrological sense, you might say, like, there's one transit, the Uranus and Taurus, which is very, it's affecting you and me specifically because we got a lot of Taurus placements, right?
Yes.
You could say Uranus, Taurus is about rules and standards, right? Well, Uranus and Taurus, that's Aquarian energy, overturning anything. So that's called no rules, right? No rules. And I think what's going to come out of this, and you know, George Soros, right? Supposedly a progressive liberal, has been funding a lot of the immigration programs and that kind of thing.
An Antifa, this guy is a
Nazi. Yeah, that's his background. He's a Nazi. So why is a Nazi funding so-called liberal policies? Mm-hmm. Well, you know what's happening is they're trying to create as much chaos as possible. And then now we have the whole economic thing happening. We're going to have an economic collapse, right? We're in it now, but it's going to get a lot worse, I think, going into next year. So where have we seen this before? It's called Germany in the 1920s. Mm-hmm. It's the exact same pattern, and not only that, it's the exact same people. If it worked once, why even change the program, right?
Right. If the generational people, because Klaus Schwab's dad is a key player.
They're Nazis.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
So this is a thing that, like people, it'll be obvious once it happens, but people are probably not even seeing this. But when you have total lawlessness, right? Total degeneracy in the culture, which they're also funding, right? Who's funding this?
Yep.
All the corporation and these damn Nazis, right? Why would so-called right-wing Nazis fund all this chaos, people fighting, racism? You know, BLM, that's not a black movement. It has a black face, but that's basically for white folks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I love the Hoteps coming up and saying that.
So shout out to Hotep and Hotep Jesus. But, yeah, you know, basically, Hotep's so what is this program? Just look at what they call Weimar Germany. When their economy blew out, it was total chaos. What do people want? They want order. And what came after Weimar Germany? It was hard right. What comes after far left is hard right. But it's going to be a new kind of hard right with technocracy. So I think everybody's been worried about, like, these crazy liberals and the cartoon drag queen story time, the borders totally, like, you know, porous, right? It's totally dissolved. It's totally lawless. Nobody knows what's going on. There's no organizing principle in the West right now, right? Oh, there's going to be an organizing principle coming, but it ain't no good. Also, I think a lot of this is to keep us busy.
Yes, know? Yes.
Because there are important things to look at, but what's running in the background is the technology. Because no matter what happens, people are like race and things. These are things that people are very familiar with, right? You talk to so-called activists on the street, ask them a simple question. What's your position on AI? You're going to get a blank stare. They're like, what? Because a lot of these narratives, they're running on things that are like, you know, half a century old or more, right? And, you know, there were problems with that. somebody mentioned it about, like, even Dr. King and all that. You know, if you can look back at these characters, like Marcus Garvey, even Frederick Douglass, you know, I think that might have been a whole Masonic setup. Even NOI, like Nation of Islam and the Moore Science Temple. I think that was heavily infiltrated, if not an op from the beginning, you know. But in the past, a lot of these movements, like, you know, I come out of a community, especially my temple, very heavy Black Panther consciousness here in LA, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So, but it was a convention, because if you're in a system that did have a lot of problems at that time, and, you know, people were even, you know, especially Oakland, right? Black Panthers with the red book, the Mao book, right? They didn't know what was going on in China, but if somebody's telling you, hey, there's another way besides the traditional American way that you've been told, we're addressing the racism problems, it's a convention of the time, right? People needed an outlet. But now we're like in the AI, like nanobot, coof shot era. So all that stuff, it's like, what's the most important, right? Like, yeah, America does have problems, but compared to like changing your literal genetics, like ain't no redneck gonna do that. Ain't no, like, you know, there's a bunch of groups, even the Hebrew Israelites, right? Like black dudes that are on the other side, they're like a black version of the white nationalists, right? You have black nationalists, white nationalists.
Yes. Yeah, everyone.
This is yeah. All like Mickey Mouse small time stuff compared to like the bigger issues, because every cycle, you know, I'm talking like the big cycle, like 13, 26,000 years, the whole system gets reformatted, and not just the system, you know, the biblical type cataclysms, but the human form gets changed, right? What's the coup shot? And most people, they don't even recognize this. So,
thank you, Masaki, for that. And these are prescient points. And of course, this conversation could go on for hours. We know that Dave Cruz has to leave soon, and so I'm going to move into the last question I have for you all. And we'll start with Dave. But I wanted to look at this idea of, and Masaki brought this up very early on, soul genetics. This is a key factor when we look at this whole conversation we're having, and we look at this idea of invasion. I believe that the human form is being invaded. I really, truly, truly believe that a lot of what we consider humans around us are not actually being inhabited by the soul, the inner light, that which connects us to the higher power, whatever that is, this little light of mine. And these parasites that I'm calling them, but we could call them archons, we could call them demons, we could call them interdimensional, extraterrestrial, whatever, they're using our form via artifice, these vessels we're in, to infiltrate the world. And so what I'm seeing when I distill all this down is a soul genetic raking. Now, the soul as an element, as a rare element in the field, is scattered amongst all peoples. It's not specific to a race. It's all over, and it's part of a bigger picture, I think, that paints the spiritual picture. And we can see it in others. You can see the light behind someone's eye. You can encounter it. And it's really obvious, and it's becoming more obvious. So I would put out to you that all the leaders, of course, have been infiltrated, and that this is moving from the top down. We're seeing it now in structures like the police or the military, and moving down into the field, getting closer to us folk. And in fact, it is closer to us folk. So I'd like to have a closing step on this. So Dave Cruz, what do you think about this idea of soul genetics, the something bigger, the spiritual war that looks to be happening?
Anish, first, I just want to say once again, thank you so much for having me on the program. And I apologize that I have to leave early. And I mean, I'd love to continue this conversation. I mean, we can talk about this forever. It's just amazing. The other gentlemen have been wonderful, and they've had great information, wonderful points. I do feel that there's some kind of a soul reaping, if you will. Our energy is being, you know, has been being harvested. You know, you mentioned the archons, or maybe even, you know, reptilian races, or you know,
yes,
whatever. That there's some beings that are actually siphoning our energy. And yeah, this is, you know, Masaki said it earlier, this is a distraction of what's going on right now. I mean, you know, not only are they trying to pit us against one another, but they're distracting us. I mean, Once again, you know, just a few weeks ago, you know, there were, we had Ghislaine Maxwell back in the in the news, and you know, of course, if everyone knows about the whole Jeffrey Epstein story, you know, that whole thing was just horrific. What was happening on the island with the experiments with the children, you know, and you have the whole. Celebrities and politicians going to the to his island, you know, allegedly, you know, there is a whole a lot of you know, child abuse and underage, you know, sex and all that kind of stuff that was going on there, and she was the main madam, you know, that was bringing in all these, you know, these children. I think she like only got like 20 years or something like that. And I mean, for all the stuff that, that she was charged with, mm-hmm. and what, you know, and a lot of the evidence that, that, that they, you know, that they came up with the island and everything. I mean, well, again, we know that that's all part of this plan. I guess the answering your question is, you know, we're, we are seeing a change in energy. And I do feel that AI has a lot to do with it as well, because the powers that be, they want to live forever, and they're going to do it in every any way they can. You know, they're going to simulate our soul. They're going to put us in clones. They're going to put us in machines, androids, whatever, you know, whatever. And I don't know if this is the answer that you were looking for, or if it's even remotely close to it, but I do feel that there's something happening in the ether. I don't know exactly who it is that's doing it, but there's definitely something happening right now with that perspective. And I feel that AI has a lot to do with it. I really do. Perhaps they're trying to trap our soul using AI. You know, that's very possible. So I hope that kind of answers the question a little bit.
Yeah, that's it's perfectly fine. I'm not looking for any particular answers. It's where we go, and then that'll be fodder for the rest of us to finish this up. But I'm so grateful that you made this work, and I'm so glad that you could participate in this. How do people find you in the world? And I know you're doing a different couple different shows, so what's all that?
The main way to get a hold of me is basically on social media, whether it's Twitter, and that would be at strangedave70, or on Facebook, I'm under Dave Cruz. But the best way is just go to beyondthestrange.com. that's basically where everything's at. I try to make it as simple as possible. Beyondthestrange.com it has all the contact information. There's a way you can just contact me through a little form. Just put in your email, that kind of thing. I'll get your information. Again, Nish, thank you so much for introducing me to these gentlemen and this wonderful topic that I really hope there's a part two or a part three even. You know, this conversation is just amazing.
Yeah, we could take it. We're going to take it ultimately a lot deeper. But thank you, Dave Cruz. It's been a big pleasure.
Nice meeting you, Dave.
Thank you very much. It was nice to meet you. And it was nice to meet you also, Misaki.
And Misaki waved. So, because this is not video. So as we're looking at this idea of soul genetics, of something bigger that makes us, I guess, special. And I think we're all old enough now to remember, I think, a time before this kind of invasion that was going on that I don't think we're looking at other humans. And I say that loosely because we're mixed, you know, that whole junk DNA thing. And so, I mean, do you know what I'm saying here? There's something different about some people. And again, the genetics are sprayed all over the realm. So it's not a bloodline until we start getting up into, and maybe it was at some point, you know, there were these, there's all this beautiful stuff coming out of Egypt, right? And the Moors and the Bas and the ancient Chinese and the ancient Japanese and the Saxons over there. Everyone's got their bloodline aspect, but I am trying to take this up a step further because I think we're more than this. And I think our soul is the key component here, Justin.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I cannot agree more with you, Nish, without doubt. Soul genetics, right? So definitely, there is this attempt by a dark energy to infiltrate us, right? And this dark energy, as it tries to infiltrate our souls, what it does is it feeds off of fear. I think we can agree with that. Now, with that said, I believe that the spirit, right, is separate from the soul. I believe that the spirit is part of the greater consciousness. Now, whether we call that greater consciousness, God, the Father, Source, Universe, whatever you have, right? Now, on the other hand, I believe that the soul is made up of various energies, which were essentially created by the Creator. And since we are one with the Father or Creator, we have been gifted with these energies. Now, with that said, I believe that these energies are, for example, the energy of freedom, the energy of truth, the energy of liberation, right? And I believe that these energies, and along with the divine light, literally make up the soul. Now, what's going on is that it's an attack against the Creator. They want to be the ultimate Creator. Okay, so it goes back to that spiritual warfare that we talked about. And what we are is warriors. We are literally warriors of the light. And we fight against this, because once that dark energy is able to attack those energies, they want to put in that negative, low vibrating energy. They want to induce fear, and that enables that energy to control us. So we talk about soul genetics and dark energies. Essentially, what they're trying to do is change our soul DNA, right? Which is, again, in my belief, my thoughts, the soul being made of these wonderful divine energies that we've all been gifted with. Again, the energy of liberation, truth, and freedom. And that's what it comes down to, in my opinion. You know, they're trying to literally alter our soul DNA. They want to be the Creator, you know, the ultimate Creator. Because, again, these energies are dark, they're low vibration, they're jealous, they're all those things that you see people dealing with. In this world, it's like a possession, if you will, and people don't know it. So that's yes. when I talk about people need healing, people need to be delivered from these type things, you know. And again, I'm not some church dude. I don't go to church, and you know, I don't subscribe to any religion or such, you know. But people, honestly, in my opinion, need to be delivered. And it's just an attack on the Creator. And again, since we are one with the Creator, it's an attack on us, because we are a piece of that that greater consciousness. So that's how I feel about that.
That, and see, I'm with you on that, and you know that. So when we look at this and we juxtaposition that next to, say, these people that seem, and I use that word loosely, remember, these people that seem to be what we're calling these invading forces, and this is not, now we're stepping out of looking at, say, the invasion of Europe and the invasion of America, which seems pretty obvious. I'm talking about the things within them. So, you know, the Catholic Church has started saying they're trying to exorcise whole cities now. You know, I think Misaki told me this, like dumping holy water over whole cities and stuff in Brazil. And so we are looking at dark forces of dark and light. It's very Star Wars in a way. That becomes the bigger picture for me. And when I am looking at how some of the narratives of separation and division amongst the folk is playing out, I see that these energies, and especially looking historically back, they will get into a group of people. They will infiltrate a group of people and through the name of that group of people start to control everything by their name, like our governments do. So as an American, you know, when we were weapons of mass destruction that didn't exist, well, that was in our name. All of us here that are Americans, that was in our name. The world sees that, and that's, you know, we're Americans. America did that. That's on the world stage. Well, I suggest these were not human even. This is the dark side. This is that we're talking about. And so when we're trying to move forward, what I'm seeing, Justin, right now is a very big move from, say, the dark side, the dark forces, that is looking quite successful right now. I have never felt like we're such a small group. And now I know that we have a lot of power, and that's part of why this is happening, and that we're fearful when we come into it. But things look so divided and conquered right now, it's hard not to have a little bit of a shadowed perspective on the trajectory going into, say, the next 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, based off what we've been experiencing and what we believe is to come, I definitely understand why you say that, no doubt. But I think it's a benefit in being pushed to the limit, because that builds something within in order to do something about it, right? And they say a scared man is a dangerous man. Not meaning that, you know, we need to be scared in order to be dangerous, but just meaning that we can only take so much. We will only allow so much to happen for there's enough of us, like you and myself, to then step up and make something happen. And yet the next 5-10 years could be very, very, very dark. But again, there is definitely going to be some sort of push from the light, from people like us, warriors of the light, to benefit all of humanity. Because of who we are and because of what we're a part of. And that's when I talk about the creator, the father, the universe.
Yes.
You know, we are one with that, you know, and we don't lose. We can't lose, you know, just because we are one with that. And it is the source that lives within. And we will be guided by that source, by that spirit, and given the knowledge, the hidden knowledge. Just like they have the hidden hand, we have hidden knowledge that will be given to us when the time is appropriate to do great things on the universe's behalf.
I feel that. I love that perspective. And we do need to keep this idea of triumph in our heads and as a yes. pole star. Otherwise,
yes.
we could fall in the dark times. You have to continue to move forward.
That's right. That's our hope. Right. That mindset of triumph, that mindset of victory, that's our hope. That's what we have to look forward to. You know, that's like our light at the end of the tunnel. You know, no matter what we suffer, no matter what we experience, there's that hope, there's that faith, because that's our promise. That's our promise from the Creator. Because we know, and we've all have had life experiences where we've been like, oh my goodness, what the heck? And it's like the Creator just kind of dangles us over a cliff a bit, but he never lets us go, right? He just kind of shakes us, lets us experience that, so we know what it feels like. And it can be fearful, it can hurt, it can be very challenging, but at the same time, it's almost like a tough love. And, yes. and the Creator knows, okay, I must do this to build something within. And what that's building is trust. And what's that building is love. And it's a reciprocal, right, between you and your Creator, because you look back on it and you'd be like, damn, I went through that. And he never let go. And not yes. only did he not let go, he allowed me to learn something from that. And now look at me now, look what I've learned. And then that's that trust, right? And then that's love. Then you just fall deeper, deeper and deeper in love with that Creator. And you have so much gratitude for that experience. And that's what it's all about, right? That experience. That's why I thank the Father for every experience. You know, we always win. We can't lose. That's what I'm saying. Even with what's to come, we cannot lose. Because he lives within us, and we know he's not a loser, right? Mm. We know he's the ultimate, the Alpha and the Omega. But he's going to allow certain things to happen. Certain things have to play out. Certain things have to align. But I tell you what, it's going to be a time where he pushes that button, and he and his children are going to show up and show out. Mm. And that's what I stand on.
There's going to be a reckoning. This is that time. And if anyone ever really felt like they didn't have a purpose that has been living, this is the time when you, if you're checking in, you've got a purpose. And we need everyone on board. Have your purpose. This is the time for a purpose.
I'm so glad you said that. And there's so much truth in that. We all have a purpose. And if you, like you said, if you don't know what your purpose is, it's time to find out what your purpose is. You need, it's time to find out. Mm-hmm. You know, playtime is over, good people. It really is. Playtime is over because we have to be prepared for what's to come. Because if you're not prepared for what's to come, you just might get left behind. And that will not be a good feeling.
Mm-mm. No, this is time to check in. Mm-hmm. Yep. Misaki, what do you have here?
Well, if you're talking about bloodline, you know, although I come from a Buddhist background, it's very funny that a lot of my thinking aligns with the Christian thinking. You talked about that too, Nish, right? The
yes.
Christian scriptures are a great platform to view what's happening today. And although it's in many traditions, but most people are familiar with the Christian Bible, right? Or the more Abrahamic thinking. Well, you have to bring up the fallen angels, right? And yes. I've been looking at this a lot recently, like the past month, something like that. And everything's pointing to the Watchers coming back. Like the gods are going to come back. I don't know how. It might be through AI or something. It may not be so obvious, like we think of something descending down or we see aliens or gods or something, but there's something of previous cycles that's coming back. I would say that. And I think that's why we're so schizophrenic, is like, at some level, Nish, like, they are us and we are them, because we have some, that's why the human being is schizophrenic, right? Mm-hmm. It's like half angel and half devil, mm-hmm. right? We have these forces in us, and what's happening now, it's cosmic. It's like we have our ideas about it, but I don't think that even we completely understand what's going on. But as far as bloodline goes, I kind of referenced it before. The genetics, I think, in the blood it's important. But I will tell you that I know people that come from very important bloodlines, and they ain't got it. They didn't got the whole thing. They have the bloodline that goes back to sacred sites, priesthoods, and those kind of things.
Yes.
But there's an important thing. It needs activation.
Yes.
You have to do the rituals. You have to listen to the music. You have to do the dances. You have to know the song of your people. If you have the blood, that doesn't mean anything. It has to be activated through ritual. And so, you know, like you have all kinds of nationalists, but let's take white nationalists, right? What's white culture? There's all kinds of like white people. So what's white nationalism? That's like blank slate, basically. You know, I would say this is that, you know, everybody has something going back to like grandma used to do this, uncle used to do this or something like that. You know, it's very hard to start from nothing. You know, and if you're coming from a more recent immigrant culture, maybe that's easier to tap into. But, you know, I would say this, that the blood means nothing unless you have a culture. And that goes back to what I said, right? What they're presenting, what the public's being presented with, and it's been like, they've been slowly taking people's minds over of this 3D rainbow multiculturalism, which is actually completely satanic. It's a flattening, actually. Mm-hmm. It's only multicultural on the surface, but what they're doing is they're taking the ritual away. What's the song of your people?
Mm.
What's your root culture? And I will tell you, especially if you look at Eurasia, right? We were talking about like eight different kinds of Asians. There's the steppe Asians, which are would be like the Mongols, Mongolian, Kazakh, Korean, and Japanese. There's an overlap there because they're the steppe Asians, like the horse riders of Eurasia. But that culture is very overlapping with the Kosak Scythian, like the historical Buddha. My opinion, he was a Scythian. You know, these horse riding people, right? They spent a lot of time in Persia. So a lot of these tribes interbred where they may look completely Asian, but if the signs and the symbols are the same, there's a brotherhood there. Same thing with like Native American, because Native Americans have a tie to Eurasia, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So no matter where you are, if you have a common under, and I think we may be, our kind of people are maybe moving back to that, where it's like, yeah, of course, you know, ethnic tribes, you're going to have a feeling of commonality naturally. But that's sort of, I don't want to say surface, but do you understand what I'm saying? We're at a point now where we're going deep. And within a family, there may be only one person. Within a community, there may be only one person. So who are you going to connect to? It's like a soul connection. It doesn't matter the race, right? And we can also see this in the projects, because many MyLabs report when they're on their ops, whether it's a dream time or whatever, they see Russians, they see Chinese, they see every race, because guess what? They pick the best of the best, right?
Yes.
It doesn't matter where you come from. If you get them talents, that's all that counts, right? So we could even see that from more the darker side of people, the system using people with talents, they really don't care. As long as you can do what they want, you know, you got the psychic powers or whatever, that's what it is, right?
If you got that light, they want it.
Yeah, I would say racial types are, because people don't like to talk about this. And the kind of people that you'll hear talk about this is more of what people would think of as racists, right? But I would say that the racial types, it's like the seasons. You know, you got spring, summer, winter, fall. You got the zodiac signs. We don't all have to be complete, because I think it's a fallacy to say we're completely the same. We're not. At the higher level, of course, what do all the traditions say? All is one, right? But that's where you have to be a little discerning. It's like, you know, we don't all have to be exactly the same. But in spirit, if you can recognize somebody's spirit, that's where the connection is, right? Maybe a lot of this is happening for us to understand this, you know?
Yes, I love that.
We learn from each other.
Yeah.
We learn from the foreign. A lot of people want to say we're all the same. We're different. But guess what? That's that Sagittarian thing of the truth. You learn, you have to go foreign, right? You have to go to another country. You have to learn from different people. Many traditions say that not every people or group has all the answers. The information was broken and given to different people. So when this time comes, it's brought back together. You know, everybody, you know, there's this common thinking in many groups. They're the chosen. They're the best. We're the true Jews or whatever, right? Well, guess what? You ain't got all the story. You got to talk to people, right? You got to get on the street, talk to Asians, talk to Latin people. What you're going to find is there's only one story on this earth. And we've been through this multiple times, you know? So it's kind of a unity consciousness versus separation consciousness, but it's at a higher level. It's not, you know, what somebody looks like. It's more of a higher understanding of unity consciousness at that level. Sort of like, I would say, like multidimensional thinking, right? The higher understanding. I was saving this one because we were going to do a talk, right? But I'll bust it here. I don't get this. I'm not one of those people that like, I had a dream and a vision. I get out like maybe every couple of years. You know, maybe even every 5 years or something. But I'm not one of those people that gets this kind of thing. But I had it a couple months ago. It was like a wide shot, like rolling green hills. And there were people. But it was kind of like sparse. It wasn't like crowds. It was like some people here, some people there. And then, you know, it was like a nice picturesque, you know, sunny day, nice rolling green hills. But then I was shown maybe a parallel reality, or was right under it. Like, peel that picturesque, you know, rolling green hills back. It looked like hell on earth. It looked like, you remember the movie Constantine with Keanu Reeves? It looked like that. It's like normal world, but what's actually happened at the simultaneous, the same time, it is hell on earth. Mm-hmm. So imagine now those rolling green hills, it's like scorched earth, right? Like everything on fire. And there were like millions of these. It looked like an army. You remember them orcs? Just like an army, these like troll type things coming, and they were just tearing and eating everything up, right? But there were certain people, these demonic little things, they didn't even look. They just run around and just kept on going. It's like maybe, you know, a lot of the Native Americans talk about a cleansing, right? And it's like, if you ain't on the list, you ain't got nothing to worry about. Mm. You know? And you know, if you're in fear, you're probably in trouble. But I honestly, I've had a lot of these visions about zombie apocalypse. Some of these are very kind of eschatological end times type things, but I never had a sense of fear. But this is kind of what I was shown, is like James Bartley talks about this. It's a frequency war. And fear is the mind killer. That puts you in a low frequency, right? And we started out talking about the energy tools. It's not everything, but it's a great help in raising your frequency. And there is this idea that if you move your sort of bandwidth to a higher level, it's like those darker energies can't even touch you. You know, so maybe that's what I was seeing. Because what I was showing, I mean, it looked like hell on earth. These things were tearing everything up. Everything was on fire. But it was like these people had like an invisible bubble. And these little demon things, they just went right around. They didn't even look at these people. They said, you're not even on the list. It was interesting. You know, what do you think about that, Nish?
I think it's incredible, and I hope you bring it to the next Dreamtime Circle. This imagery is incredible, and I think that the idea that you are not on the list, that you can basically become invisible
to this. Well, you know, the feeling I got also is these things weren't particularly, like, evil. They just had a job to do.
Yes. You know? Yeah. They're just doing their thing.
They just had a job to do. So yeah. It's like, it's not even like they notice these people. This is like they were, yeah, like you said, like they're like certain people are completely invisible to the change that's going on. And whoop, whoop, you know, these people were completely fine. So that's like armor of God type stuff right there, right?
Yeah. That's exactly how I was hearing it.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I come from like a 400 year lineage of Buddhist priests, but let me tell you, I have great talks with Christians these days, because they're more on point than most of these people out here, you know? Like I was saying, everything I said before, people might think I was somewhat kind of extreme in some of my views and things like that, but I'm honestly saying what I think. And let me tell you, when I was down in Central Texas, it was the most white group I've been in a long time, but we had a good old time. So, again, it's more about your understanding than where you came from, which is very Aquarian. It's like there's a higher purpose and understanding, and if we can all come together, no matter, you know, where you came from, your gender, whatever, ethnic background, a lot of us, and I think that's represented in your group, Nish, the people that listen to you.
Yeah.
It's like we're from all walks of life, but our thinking is like 99.9% the same.
Yeah, I love that about my audience, is we are all over. This is one of the things that I'm talking about, and this is what breaks open that whole narrative, Misaki and Justin. It's that virus, it's the Wetiko, it's the dark side, it's these entities that are possessing the human form. And part of that is, just like I was saying earlier, it's been weaponized by the shadowy hand, like the Klaus Schwabs and the Soros and Gates and all that. And in the end, this je ne sais quoi is in us. And when we start recognizing that, that there are really truly, and I'm going to say this, there's a ghetto mentality, and this doesn't matter what your skin color is. This doesn't matter what your identity, anything is. It's a ghetto mentality. And the ghetto mentality is actually a parasite that has infiltrated. And you can see it across the board if you're looking. And people that rise above that, right, they overcome, like we're talking out in the 70s, right? That you overcome your adversities. That's what becomes the defining flavor of what we're all doing, of what you are doing as a being on this process. And once we start to tap into this within each other, we're going to knock this out of the park, but it's going to take time. And this is going to get down and dirty. This is going to get nasty. And I feel like this is why I'm here, but at the same time, it's like, oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord. At least there'll be slow zombies, right, Nish? Because I can't run fast.
And so I'm Masaki.
Bring them slow zombies. I can handle this.
Justin, Masaki, and I are always laughing about that because I can't run. And so. Well,
let me throw this out real quick about the, there's certain people that they really won't be touched, right?
Yeah.
Is I had a vision about this this gal that she was doing a lot of work, a lot of shows and interviews about the 5G, right? But knowing all this stuff, and you really can't do much about it because it's just rolling out. It was very tiring because it's like you're always fighting. Like I'm trying to inform people, but it's like this. It's so big. You're dealing with multi-billion-dollar corporations and everything. I don't get this often, but I was not asleep. I was sitting down at night on the steps, and I had this split second vision. This lady, she's Chinese background, right? But she's Christian. So I had a vision of her as the Guanyin, the Bodhisattva, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So when I said I saw you as Guanyin, she didn't know what I was talking about because she's coming from a Christian background, right? But basically, it's the goddess of mercy, right? So. But what
Who's
I
also
saw,
the Mother Mary.
Interesting.
She's also Mother Mary if you start corresponding her.
So instead of fighting, because a lot of us, especially like early on, it's like we're fighting, right? What I saw, and this lady, she's a psychic channel also, okay? And she emanates a kind of a compassion, just like Guanyin, right? What I saw was that same woman, but just like Guanyin, the kind of floating with like the silk, dress gown and just like pure white light. No fighting, just energy, spirit. And I said, that's because it's ease, right? If you're always pushing, fighting, you're going to get worn down. But if you say, hey, it's not even about pushing back, I'm emanating the source field, it can't do nothing to you. And guess what? I told that story to her a few years ago, and now she's working with tuning forks. Frequency, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She's still talking about the 5G or whatever, but she shifted to the role of the healer, So that was another interesting vision I had.
That's incredible. And this is the potential of where we can go and where we're trying to go is in this transformation, this transfiguration. And so we, gentlemen, have hit 3 hours. So I'm going to thank you both so deeply and dearly. You've made such a beautiful contribution with this round table. We'll start with you, Masaki. How do people find you? I know you've closed up shop, but you are doing shows here and there.
I'm kind of a civilian now because I closed my shop. So just look for me in the Nish chats or, maybe I'll pop up here and there, but I'm sliding stage left. I'm going stage left right now.
And so, Justin, how do people find you? And bring up your book again, your beautiful book.
Thank you, Nish. Yeah, hiddengateway.com is my website. On the website, you can find all the episodes from my podcast. Find me on Facebook. IG as well, Hidden Gateway. And then, as you mentioned, my book, In the Eye of the Father, A Memoir of Faith and Redemption, that is available on Amazon. And just want to thank you once again, Nish, for having us on. I know it, each and every time you and I connect, it's always memorable. And I enjoy it. I enjoy it. So thank you for what you do. And just thank you for organizing this. And this has been really special.
Yeah, this has been a great pleasure. And hopefully we can have more of these roundtables. Justin, you were the one who really kind of sparked it for me with the one I was on with you, trying to have some roundtables that are like this, where we're really trying to pierce the veil a little bit and move to deeper territory. And I realize that it's slow sometimes and all that. A lot of roundtables kind of break down and have a good time, have fun. I love those. Everyone knows I love to get crazy. But these important topics need to be had right now, and we shouldn't be afraid to talk about racism. We shouldn't be able to be afraid to talk about all this stuff that is really hyperbolic right now by having real conversations that are pushing around ideas and theories and points of perspective. We are opening a field, a portal of sorts that is allowing us to stabilize that which is unstable around us and that which is being used against us. And so these connections are important, and hopefully the reverberation out, the causality of these coming togethers, these hoedowns, these family meetings, these breaking of bread conversations pushes further and takes us into higher land. So with that, I want to thank you, my friends. This has been meaningful, soulful, and I cannot wait for everyone else to participate and join in this conversation.
All right.
Nice. See you next time.
A biento. And there they go. Justin Williams. Dave Cruz. And Saki. So, I want to do more roundtables. I learned a lot from doing this particular one on how I want to do them moving forward. It's really not easy to get in the flow when you're trying to make sure we get enough airtime, everybody gets their thoughts out. When you're looking at just a couple hours, it just doesn't seem like enough with more than two people. And y'all know I like to get into these rich conversations, so I'll figure it out. Until later, I don't have any others planned. I will say I like doing roundtables or panels where we're just all messing around having a good time. So I'm thinking the next one I do actually may be some sort of goof-off session. And wouldn't that be fun? And also, I think perhaps doing it live, right? That should be a live stream situation. So we'll work on getting that done. I want to thank the producers of this show. I have a lot of people coming and going always, and I just want to make sure that everyone that comes here, no matter what level you're on, I want to make sure you understand that I deeply appreciate the time you spend, the monies you spend, and the feedback and interaction that so many of you do here, or sending me stuff personally to look at or recommendations. In fact, it's a recommendation that led to, or it's been recommendations that have led to some of the best chats, truly. One is coming up with Ina Retort, or Retort, of the book Krivda. And this is just a powerhouse of a conversation. She is truly a remarkable woman, And I'm very excited to bring that forward to you all. We'll talk about that later. I've got to edit now. It's already happened. I'm going to be recording with her again here shortly, actually. So with that, I do want to thank the producers who come in at the producer level. It means an awful lot for people to come in because really there's no benefit that they get that's extra at this level. It's just people that can come in at this level and do, you know, so many of you mention it doesn't matter if I mention your name or not. And I think that also adds to the gratitude I feel and just the general vibe here. Because no matter what, I don't want a paywall to get in the way of people that actually want the content. So I do a lot of outreach behind the scenes with live streams and sending MP3s and all that. It's never, ever been my goal in life to chase a dollar. And I have never chased a dollar. I can sit back and say that with conviction, utter conviction. Having been at the bottom of the barrel and having been on top of it riding high. So I just want you to know, everyone, I appreciate you for spending time, the most valuable resource a lot of us have. So with that, the people that came in graciously as producers do help this show go round and help with things around the amount of time I spend on the show. So I definitely want to make sure that that's always known. Wise Night Owl, thank you kindly and graciously always. And those of you that have come in with like surprise gifts of charity, I suppose. AW, I will miss you, but you know, I will always get you what you need. Reach out. Cass, Thank you. Christy Tesmer, thank you. You are OG as well. Eric Peterson, the shows we've done, all the good times, your beautiful family. Heather, it's so wonderful. Thank you. Jake, James, Vanek, it's so great to have you here. And I can't wait for everyone to experience the shows that we have already lined up, two of them. I believe it's like 4 hours, so there will be more. Jason Lamson, my OG in real life person that was here this last week, which is why I was a little behind on stuff. You got it in real life, right? In real life first. And Jason's an OG in real life, beloved person in my real life. So there's that. Jessica Lynn, thank you, dear. It's wonderful that you're here, and you know how I feel about your magical family. J.H. Armstrong, so wonderful. And just looking at the years that some people have put in, I'm just humbled by it. Kate Kukulkan. Now, I've become addicted to saying that last name. You already gave me a heads up on that, but I just love it. It rolls off my tongue, and sometimes I think about it at odd times. Laura Dunn, I was just mentioning you by mentioning your daughter. Thank you, Miss Laura Dunn. You are a shining special light. Louise B. of definitely the Sacred Sisterhood. I'm so happy that you're in the field, Louise, and I feel better for our conversations and just knowing that we can get high and we can get low, but we always who we are, right? Right, Louise B? Keeping it into the magic, into the creative, and living fully in our times. Marcy Shapiro, Dr. Marcy Shapiro, saving me when I need to be saved. Thank you so much, my dear. Mark Betcher, you betcha, Mark. Always out there standing and having been here for a long time. Thank you so much for all the support. Melanie Poe, my sister here. always, always a pleasure to spend time with you and have found you out here in the wastelands of the world. Michael Watts, my gay husband, as I say, I love you out there. You are OG as well. Whether you listen or not, your support just emotionally and financially, as you know, is a great deal to me, means a great deal. Neil McNaughton, I love saying that name. I probably butcher it up, but thank you so much for the very generous support you bring to my world as well. And let's see, so it's like a year now. Thank you so much. Noelle Jeanette. Fabulous, Noelle out there. Noelle is so wonderful with bringing me details and data that gets whipped into the prima donnas, everyone. Noelle is another, just like everyone else here, just creative, beautiful soul. Then I want to just make sure that everyone gets a wonderful thank you from me. I want to go down the line to everyone. Yogi Chander, for paying a year in advance and having no support from this platform and getting booted. How is this? How is this platform so challenging for all of us, and it's getting worse? There's got to be another way. Amanda Palmander, you're always in there. And so I could just go on. Babs, thank you, thank you, thank you for being the genealogist extraordinaire. And Miss JJ, my JJ, out there, who often, almost always handles the live streams, is gracious, welcoming people in with a fair hand and the most beautiful jewelry out there around. If you haven't gotten a piece of JJ jewelry, you just don't know, child, till you get it in person and experience how wonderful her wares are. Absolutely bold, beautiful, magical, well done. So, all right, with all this, I know I'm meandering, and if you've hung out this long, thank you. I guess I'm feeling sappy. So remember, the dreamer loves the dream. The dreamer feeds the dream. Awaken within the dream. And thank you for being here with me in the Cosmic Salon.